Let's read together 2 Kings chapter 23, verses 1 through 25. Now, in this first portion of the chapter, we have the record of Josiah's great revival in Judah, dated at 621 BC. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 3. Now the king sent them to gather all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem to him. The king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah, and with him all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the house of the Lord. Then the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people took a stand for the covenant. Let's begin our study of this portion of God's word with some background notes. We saw in 2 Kings chapter 22 that Josiah became king when he was only 8 years old. And when he was 26 years old, he began major repairs of the temple, which had fallen into disrepair during the evil reigns of King Manasseh and King Amon. While work on the temple was going on, a hidden copy of the Book of the Law was found. It probably had been hidden in the temple some years before by the priests to prevent it from being destroyed by Manasseh or Amon. After consultation with Huldah the prophetess, King Josiah, here in 2 Kings chapter 23, gathered all the people together in the temple courts, including the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, along with the priests and the prophets. Zephaniah and Jeremiah were undoubtedly present. After a reading of the law in the presence of the people, Josiah called the people to publicly enter into a covenant with the Lord to keep the law of God. Well, that brings us to our doctrinal or teaching points for this first portion of 2 Kings chapter 23. Doctrinal point number one, great revivals require great commitment. Great revivals require great commitment. Did you ever go on a diet and exercise program to lose weight and get in shape? What's the key element in making it really work? Commitment. Commitment not only for a day. Commitment not only in some areas where it doesn't take much effort. Commitment not only when people are watching. It takes commitment, great commitment. The same is true in the spiritual area. Do you want revival in your personal life? Do you want revival in your church life? What will it take? Great commitment. Look at verse 3 once again. Notice what Josiah and the people are committing themselves to. To follow the Lord and obey His word. The same is required today. Our commitment must be to the Lord and His word, not to people or programs. The right programs come as a result of our commitment to the Lord and His word. Let's ask ourselves, how much do we sacrifice to really know the Lord and His word? Do we really want to obey God in areas where it cuts into our leisure time and pleasure time? Remember the getting in shape illustration. Great revivals require great commitment. Doctrinal point number two. Great revivals involve great reform. Great revivals involve great reform. Verses 4 through 20. And the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, the priest of the second order, and the doorkeepers to bring out of the temple of the Lord all the articles that were made for Baal, for Asherah, and all the hosts of heaven. And he burned them outside Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and carried their ashes to Bethel. Then he removed the idolatrous priests, whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense on the high places in the cities of Judah, and in the places all around Jerusalem, and those who burned incense to Baal, to the sun, to the moon, to the constellations, and to all the hosts of heaven. And he brought out the wooden image from the house of the Lord to the brook Kidron outside Jerusalem, burned it at the brook Kidron, and ground it to ashes, and threw its ashes on the graves of the common people. Then he tore down the ritual booths of the perverted persons that were in the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the wooden image. And he brought all the priests from the cities of Judah, and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense, from Geba to Beersheba, Also, he broke down the high places at the gates, which were at the entrance of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were to the left of the city gate. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places did not come up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they ate unleavened bread among their brethren. And he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter pass through the fire to Molech. Then he removed the horses that the kings of Judah had dedicated to the sun at the entrance to the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathan-Melech, the officer who was in the court. And he burned the chariots of the sun with fire. The altars that were on the roof, the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord, the king broke down and pulverized there and threw their dust into the brook Kidron. Then the king defiled the high places that were east of Jerusalem, which were on the south of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon, king of Israel, had built for Ashtoreth, the abomination of the Sidonians, for Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabites, and for Milcom, the abomination of the people of Ammon. And he broke in pieces the sacred pillars, and cut down the wooden images, and filled their places with the bones of men. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel, and the high place which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel sin, had made, both that altar and the high place he broke down. And he burned the high place and crushed it to powder and burned the wooden image. As Josiah turned, he saw the tombs that were on the mountain. And he sent and took the bones out of the tombs and burned them on the altar and defiled it according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. Then he said, "What gravestone is this that I see?" So the men of the city told him, "It is the tomb of the man of God who came from Judah and proclaimed these things which you have done against the altar of Bethel." And he said, "Let him alone. Let no one move his bones." So they let his bones alone with the bones of the prophet who came from Samaria. Now Josiah also took away all the shrines of the high places that were in the cities of Samaria, which the kings of Israel had made to provoke the Lord to anger. And he did to them according to all the deeds he had done in Bethel. He executed all the priests of the high places who were there on the altars and burned men's bones on them. And he returned to Jerusalem. In these verses, we see not only how bad the moral and spiritual conditions were in Judah before Josiah's revival, but we also see how sweeping the reforms were as a result of the revival. In verses 4 through 7, we see that gross idolatry was being practiced in the temple area, including ritual homosexual acts. Josiah did away with all of this moral and spiritual corruption. In verses 8 through 14, we see that Josiah made a clean sweep from Geba in the north of Judah to Beersheba in the south. All the idolatrous shrines were torn down, and the altars defiled, and the cult objects were burned. Even the good priests who were using the high places to make sacrifices and burn incense to the Lord were demoted, verse 9, because all sacrifices to the Lord were to take place in Jerusalem at the house of the Lord, not at the high places. By the way, if you go to the Israel Museum today, you can see one of the incense altars from the high place at Arad that was overturned and defiled. Archaeologists were able to date the time of its last use with a radioactive carbon technique to the time of Josiah's revival. Notice from verse 10 that child sacrifice was being practiced in Judah during these times, as we've mentioned before. In verses 15 through 18, we read of Josiah's removal of the idolatrous shrine at Bethel. Remember, this is where one of the golden calves had been set up by Jeroboam the First. Josiah defiled this shrine by digging up the graves of the idolatrous priests there and burning their bones on the pagan altar. This was all in fulfillment of the prophecy made by a prophet of Judah about 300 years before this time. I'm reading 1 Kings chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. "And behold, a man of God went from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. Then he cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, 'O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a child, Josiah by name, shall be born to the house of David, And on you he shall sacrifice the priests of the high places who burn incense on you, and men's bones shall be burned on you. 1 Kings chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. Notice that Josiah is named specifically by name. This is 300 years before his time. That prophecy, of course, is fulfilled here in 2 Kings chapter 23. And it is the grave of this prophet, along with the grave of the other good prophet mentioned in 1 Kings 13, that are honored and left undisturbed, as we see here in verses 17 and 18 of 2 Kings chapter 23. In verses 19 and 20, we see that Josiah's revival swept north to the cities of Samaria, even though the northern kingdom of Israel had been conquered by the Assyrians 100 years before this time. There were still Jews living in the northern cities and practicing idolatry. Josiah not only removed all the idolatrous shrines, but he put the idolatrous priests to death in accordance with the law. As Josiah's revival involved great reform, so revival today will involve great reform, whether it is personal or national. Sinful practices will be stopped. Sinful events will not be planned. God will be permitted to come back into the classroom and back onto the campus and back into the courts. God's word will be read and studied and honored and obeyed. Great revivals involve great reform. Now, what about practical application from this first portion of 2 Kings chapter 23? Make celebration a part of your reform. Make celebration a part of your reform. Verses 21 through 25. Then the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover to the Lord your God, as it is written in this book of the covenant. Such a Passover surely had never been held since the days of the judges who judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, this Passover was held before the Lord in Jerusalem. Moreover, Josiah put away those who consulted mediums and spiritists, the household gods and idols, all the abominations that were seen in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. Now before him there was no king like him, who turned to the Lord with all his heart, and with all his soul, and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, nor after him did any arise like him. King Josiah not only got rid of the negative in his reform, he also practiced the positive and commanded all the people to celebrate the Passover in accordance with the law. We read that not a Passover had been celebrated like this since the time of the judges. This would be about 400 years before this time, if it was during the time of Samuel that the last great Passover was celebrated. God was pleased with this celebration, because it was in line with his word. And God is pleased today when celebration is part of our reform. Let's not only clean house and remove sin in our moral and spiritual reform, let's practice the positive and celebrate with worship and praise to the Lord. Make celebration a part of your reform.